Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoy the program.
We have the Reverend Keith Garner, the CEO of Wesley Mission, joining us. Reverend Keith Garner, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, no, good to be with you again.
That's not so long on this program ago that we're looking at ACOS and inequality and perceptions of inequality and experiences of inequality in Australia. But Wesley Mission has just launched a new report, Facing Financial Stress. Now, you say that there's a widespread perception that the economy is thriving, but for who? What does the new report reveal?
Well, look, I'm passionate about two things. One is homelessness and the other is the question of financial stress. And this new report that we did at the end of 2014, that's when we actually did some of the research with 500 families and units. When we did that research, the findings basically show that there's an alarming increase in the number of people, certainly in our state, in New South Wales, and I've no reason to believe it's not the same all across Australia, where families are under stress. And if they're under stress, well, we're concerned not just about the stress that's to do with finance, but all the related issues to do with family breakdown, to do with all kinds of things that can flow on from it. So I think it's quite worrying, really. And we hear all this thing about we're doing well with the economy, it's all going okay and it's all going fine. Well, that's only a part of the story.
Not for everybody, it seems.
Yeah, that's right. I think it is going fine for some, but I don't know who they are. I don't meet them most days. They're not in my world, let me put it that way.
Well, those 500 families you were looking at, how did you choose them or how did they come into the study?
Look, the people that we select on a there's a randomness about it, but there's also a real sense in which that they are representative of people within the life of the community. Mm. And we ensure that's done independently, that study, and gather that research together. And literally, we found that 4 out of 10 households, if they were businesses, they'd be called insolvent.
What do you mean by insolvent? They can't pay bills on
time?
They
cannot pay their bills on time. They really are struggling to. We chose some figures. Not big figures. We said if you were presented with a $2,000 debt, would you be able to meet it? And huge numbers of people said we couldn't face that. Couldn't face it. And that really isn't a lot when you think if you've got a car and you live in regional New South Wales or part of South Australia,
if
something happened, that you soon lose that kind of money. So we realised that this was not ridiculous. It was realistic. Mm. And I came out of the mission in the middle of Sydney tonight. There are people sleeping on the streets of Sydney. And I realised that homelessness is not a fantasy. It's a real thing. And I realised that the link between people finding themselves in financial struggle and the real issue of some of these big stuff is quite real and it's very worrying. And I think there's got to be a wake-up call. And the wake-up call's got to go not just to people like ourselves, but for the financial world, the bankers, the people who are in government. We've got to say to ourselves, we have a real issue here. We deal with about 1,000 clients with financial stress each year at three centres, at Newcastle, Wollongong and in Sydney. And we realise that there are less and less opportunities for people to find help. And that's what needs to happen. As early as possible, finding help when you get in a financial mess.
Now, when you say less opportunities, what are you pointing to there? Where are the opportunities disappearing, do you think?
Well, I think there are less resources put into the issue of helping people in financial stress. Our financial counselling and all those related areas, they're not high spoken about, they're not front page stories, but we actually believe they're so critical, not just to the economy of ensuring people can cope, but to the well-being of people. When we see people get into financial stress, we see the pressure on family life. Mm. We see the pressure on people's mental capacity, upon their people being able to cope with life. And if that's the case, then this is really a serious issue.
Well, they say that financial stress is one of the major factors in marriage breakdown because it puts people on edge emotionally. It leaves them adrift. So they've got no feeling of security.
Look, and for many people, and you link this to the housing issues because the housing crisis is a very real one. And the real debate that people are having, should we sell the houses?
The investment or the house?
Yes.
People are thinking of them as investments now, aren't they?
And that's right. And the real issue for many people is that to be able to afford a house, they have to have two people going out to work to be able to pay a basic mortgage for a small house. Right. Now, that will have an impact upon family life, upon children, and all those related issues. So I think you're right in saying this is a big issue when it comes to marriages, but it comes to some of those pressures.
It's interesting that you choose something like housing. Now, that is, we talk about overcapitalisation, we talk about all these these things in the big cities of Australia. Not all cities are as bad off as the biggest cities, but you know, the idea that a young couple can afford a house is almost gone. Now that's a macro issue, not a micro issue. But what are the other issues that you're seeing that cause financial stress? Housing is obviously one of them. The cost of housing. What else?
Look, we've said a number of times the ability for people to be able to take out loans, the loan sharks, I call them. I'm not ashamed to call them anything.
The payday lenders, basically.
Absolutely.
The Archbishop of Canterbury's had a go at in England.
Yeah, look, and you know, some of the best adverts on commercial television that are there are these guys. They've got people writing these scripts, bursting out of cupboards, appearing from under beds. And you
we'll
say,
give you 2,000, we'll give you 5,000.
Absolutely.
No questions asked.
And if before 2 o'clock today you ring us up, you can have 2,500 in your account by the end of the day.
So easy credit's part of it, you say?
Easy credit is part of it. I think, secondly, the lack of education. And I don't mean now just education, just in a school sense, but generally in our community. We talk about keep fit, we talk about all the essential things that are necessary for people to be up and alive. I think we really need to invest, I think, in this whole financial education of people, how to manage budgets, how to pick a piece of paper and work out one column on the left side, one column on the right side, and making those columns balance up.
Well, that was the question I wanted to ask you, because the report finds that people's ability to manage spending has declined over time. Now, why is that, do you think?
Well, I think to some extent we've got caught up in some of the bigger issues about finance. We're spending our time talking about all kinds of to do with interest rates and this and that. I think basically we've got to start from scratch again. We've got to start with our young people and talk about what it means to be able to manage money and how you can manage money. We've got to talk there. We've certainly got to ensure that young families have got access to such ability.
Financial literacy you're talking about.
Absolutely. Financial literacy is critical. And this is where the finance world has to come in. We've done some work with in the question of the financial world, of having partners with us, working with us. But, you know, it's very low on the level of investment. It's much easier to get to promote a big sporting occasion and say, well, you come along and sponsor this. All we look for is people to sponsor us, helping ordinary people deal with their finances.
That sounds like an invitation, Reverend Keith.
It's a big invitation. If there's people out there who are involved in that world and want genuinely to work with us to do the financial education, we're ready to do it. We know we've got people that we can deliver it to, but we don't have the means to do it. And we know the means exists, but you know, it doesn't have lots of returns to it. You can't get lots of ticks and say, you know, we'd be there presenting.
You're not going to make a fortune out of it, in fact.
Not at all. And you're not going to be presenting the trophy or the shield at the end of the match. But I guarantee that it'll do more to actually help people in Australia than any of the other stuff will. And we need to do it.
Well, that connected to that, I think, is when you launched this report, you said the burden of debt is increasingly shifting from the public to the private sphere. Now, what do you mean there, from public to private?
Well, the demands are really pressed upon families themselves, upon the people themselves, to be able to handle those challenges. And I think that many people really wonder just how they're going to manage from one month to the next. Mm. Now, living on that knife edge is a very serious thing. And I believe that we have to say to ourselves very, very quickly that we are all going to have to take a responsibility to handling this programme sooner or later, because otherwise it will be an avalanche in our community. And we can't really risk that. We're better than that in Australia. We're better than that. And that's why we're looking out for people to say, come and work with us to help people.
Are you at Wesley, though, feeling that you're increasingly bearing some of this burden, bearing some of the responsibility to try to address this? Is that what's happening?
Oh, there's no question about it. If we didn't actually put some of our own money and investment into making it possible to do this, we couldn't do it. And I think that we can't keep on doing that. We need people to come to the party, as it were. And this is the most dreadful party. This is a party of help and it's a party of need. And really, everybody can play at this party if they want to, but many are choosing not to.
Well, I wonder also when it comes down to, because people often think about, you know, deserving, undeserving poor. It's been a bifurcation in the last 20 years in politically as well. You know, who deserves to be helped? Who is actually helping themselves? Who is being responsible with the help they're given? Those sorts of things. What you're proposing here is, I suppose, providing education, providing the ability to people to actually help themselves is what you're talking about.
Yeah, here. And I would also say, Noel, I wonder what people have got in their minds when I'm talking about these people. Yeah. This might be the guy that sat in the next desk with you at the office, perfectly respectable, who when they all go out for a latte, chooses not to because he can't afford to do that. Mm. And at the end of the day, goes home when he gets his fortnightly check, as it were, and looks at how he's going to manage. They're struggling to be able to pay that mortgage bill. Mm. And they're frightened every time there's a conversation that rises about what's the interest rate. For them, you know, with respect, it's not the Reserve Bank that they're concerned about. They're concerned about their paycheck and whether they can cope with it. Mm. And increasingly, the relationship between not only owning houses, but the rental markets in our cities is enormous. Now, you talked about regional Australia, I think, not just the big fancy cities. But the reality is that for people's travel and transport, and all those costs and times, that's making big demands on people, really.
Well, that rental situation, we were talking about this in the inequality issues as well in previous weeks, that in Europe there is a system where renters are protected. They get 10-year leases. They get this sort of thing where there's security in that. Now, Australia doesn't have that, and now our housing market continues to go north in terms of value and puts people out of the range of being able to afford it on the average wage and income in most big cities, and yet they can't have security in rental either.
I was talking to a young couple only a couple of days ago, and they were worried because they were coming to the end of their six-month renewal and they were going to get that telephone call that tells them, you know, you can carry on or not. But the biggest worry for them was, will they add another $15 a week to my rent? Because that might be what pushes me over the edge.
Oh, I'm hearing that from people too. And they, because the market for rental in cities is also difficult, you can't just say, oh, well, we're not accepting your rise now. We're just going to move. Because the market is not there simply to do that.
No.
It's in the favour of those who are actually renting the properties, not the other way around.
And the reason as a Christian leader this is important to me is I think if I'm serious about the Jesus thing, if I really am serious about that, these people are really on my heart, and they've got to be. Mm. Because unless we make a move to stand with people like this, well, where are they going to be? And I think that our job is not only, to be at the top of the cliff. It is sometimes to be at the bottom of the cliff.
Yeah.
And Wesley Mission is picking some up at the bottom of the cliff. But let's really get at the top of the cliff as well and get involved in some of this stuff we've talked about.
Well, whose attention are you hoping to get as a result of this report? Who are you hoping will listen? Who do you hope will be prompted by it?
Well, a number of people. We obviously want governments to take it seriously because they have sometimes the ability to be able to fund, to make it possible to have an increasing number of financial councillors.
State, federal and local?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, we need that. I think, secondly, as I've said, I'm unashamedly crying out to the banking, the finance sector, and saying, please come along and share the pain with us and actually realise and recognise. I don't want to be shouting across at the big banks. My office is in the middle of the city. Yep. All the big banks surround me. It's not good me standing out with a placard outside the banks to say, you are to blame.
Keith, I reckon you might get some results if you did, you know. If Keith Garner stood outside the banks, he might just get some attention.
We want, in a way, we're doing that a bit tonight. That's what we're doing. We're saying, come on, come on. You know, listen to us and say, if you are in one of the major banks in Australia and you are serious about helping, come to the party with us and let's try and design programs, because there are many, not only Wesley Mission, but other providers of financial counselling that are running short of resources, and certainly financial education is high on the agenda.
Well, that sounds like a very strong invitation to me. You know where Wesley Mission is, and you know how to find the Reverend Keith Garner if you've been listening tonight, and you happen to be working in the financial industry in particular, and you can offer some assistance in working at education courses, assisting people with working how to do budgets, those sorts of things. Reverend Keith Garner, the CEO of Wesley Mission, thank you very much for being on the program once again.
It's always a pleasure to come and share with you, Noel.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.